Juanita, and this is It Starts Now, the podcast that celebrates grown folk joy, bold conversations, and living your best life after 50. Join me, your host, Juanita, as I talk real talk about life, wellness, relationships, style, and everything in between. Always with laughter, zero politics. You can catch us now on BBS Radio TV, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Your best life, it starts now. Well, welcome back to It Starts Now, the podcast that shares everything that grown folk people, getting older, loving life, feeling younger, being younger, people who make you feel younger again. That's what this show's about. Now, I am sharing a personal, I'm getting personal today with my personal adventure. I'm going to call it an adventure. I mean, I'm not going to call it anything but that. And my guests today are going to let you know why it was a great adventure and a great turnout. So this show is about what I recently went through. I went through a hip replacement surgery. And let me tell you, when your body says enough is enough, you eventually have to listen. Pain can slowly become part of your daily life until one day you realize, this is not how I'm supposed to feel. My pimp walk was gone. My sexy walk was gone. Everything was gone. And when I tell you that I met this amazing orthopedic surgeon from the Center for Advanced Orthopedics, Dr. Michael Anvari, that was my godsend. And I'm patting him on the shoulder. I'm letting everybody know. I'm screaming it from the rooftops. This guy told me when I first came into his office, he said, I'm going to make you feel young again. And I was like apprehensive, like a lot of you are out there now, because a lot of you are, and I'm going to throw this out there too, especially Black folks. You know how we are. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But let me tell you, I was one of those people too. I had to get convinced by not only my sister, which I'll talk about her later, and other people who have gone through the surgery, which my guest later, Nyeswa, he's going to be talking about his all of his surgical procedures. And then we have our physical therapist who's going to be joining us, Dr. Soto. But Dr. Anvari, welcome to my podcast.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Juanita. Thank you.
You know, you have such a great bedside manner. And I'm going to throw this out to let everybody know. When he came into the area where I was, you know, getting all prepped or whatever, he came in here with this big smile. Because, you know, normally I'll say, are you having a good day? You know, did you kiss your wife? You know, did you fight with your kids? You know, did something happen before prior? Because I don't want none of that to happen while you're doing me. But when he came in with this big smile, I knew I was in the best hand. And then, of course, the propofol just came to me and then I forgot where I was. So I will say this to everybody who is considering this, and I'm going to ask him a few questions because Dr. Anvari has given me a few minutes because he is on call. So I will use his precious moments, these precious minutes, and I'm going to use them wisely. But again, welcome to the show. So what is the most common reason that someone ends up needing hip replacement?
So basically arthritis, Juanita. So, I mean, you know, even before I met you, I'm sure you had been noticing differences in your hip in terms of pain and your ability to do things. Mm-hmm. That's basically what arthritis feels like. And as it gets worse and worse with time, it kind of demands attention. And, you know, there's all kinds of non-surgical treatments, I'm sure that you may have tried and can be tried, but at the end of the day, it can get bad enough, like yours did, where it's just severe, it's bone on bone, and nothing else is going to help it other than just replacing the joint.
And you're absolutely right. I did try a whole lot of different things. I tried shots. I tried physical. I tried everything. And then when Dr. Anvari showed me the x-ray, and showed me how bad the arthritis had gotten. And then doctor, this year, I think it was the turning point where it started affecting my groin. And I didn't want to be that person that was on medication and, as soon as I wake up, I'm taking medication. So
Understood.
how does someone know when it's time? Like when is that moment? I guess my moment was the growing pain, but how does someone know when is that magic moment?
It's a really personal and like an individual decision. I mean, I'm always happy to be part of that discussion and that process. There's some people that come in, they say, "Oh, I'm here for my hip pain and I want a hip replacement." And I say, "Slow down, let's take a look at your x-rays, let me examine you, let's see where things are at." And a lot of times it turns out it's not even their hip. It's like it's a nerve in their back, it's shooting into their butt region.
Oh, wow.
And so first of all, I would start with, I wouldn't assume anything. I would see an expert, have a proper evaluation. There's people that have arthritis that's not nearly as severe as yours was when I met you. And that's where, we don't talk about surgery. We do talk about physical therapy. We do talk about lifestyle changes, maybe losing a couple pounds. That wasn't your situation, but for a lot of people, that's helpful. Getting healthier as far as diet, lifestyle choices. Sometimes medications are helpful if taken properly. Sometimes injections, sometimes some herbals and vitamins and supplements and those sorts of things. But like in your situation, I would say, I mean, I'll throw it back to you. I mean, basically, I think you tried to deal with it for as long as you could, but it could get to a point where it's affecting your life too severely. It's not letting you do the things that you want to do. It's not letting you enjoy your life. And it's causing you pain. And that's when, like I said, it's a personal decision. You're the one that says, "Okay, I've had enough. It's time to move on and get this fixed."
So hip replacement surgery has come a long way, doctor. And I say that because, when I was, doing some research on this show, and I, some people were telling me about their parent long time ago got it and they were in the hospital for weeks and whatever. And then when I told someone, they said, "Well, how long are you going to be in the hospital? I'm coming to visit you." I'm like, "Be in the hospital? Look, the physical therapist was there telling me to walk."
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they were amazed because they couldn't believe that I was literally made to walk right after the surgery.
Yeah, it has come an extremely long, even in my lifetime. I mean, I remember, so this is my 20th year, believe it or not, that I'm doing this. But I can remember back to when I was a student and a resident. First time I saw a hip replacement, it looked nothing like what hip replacement is like today. It was old school, old style, good foot, 12-inch, 18-inch incision, cutting through a lot of important things, muscles, bone, blood transfusions, 1 to 2 week stay in the hospital, go to rehab, the risk, all kinds of risks were great. Pain was great, recovery was slow, risk of dislocation, blood clots, all kinds of bad things. Fortunately, and I have to be thankful to my colleagues who have come before me and a lot of research that's been done. Techniques have continued to evolve and improve, and where we are now is in a dramatically better place as far as the whole process.
So, I mean, without going through great detail, explain the process. Like, why is it so much better than it was before? Because, again, like I said, I am walking people. I got this surgery February 19th, and I am now walking without my cane.
Yeah, so it's a number of things. First of all, we realize, you don't need to make huge incisions, so incisions have gotten smaller, where you're not cutting through tissue that you don't need to cut through. So we've gotten minimally invasive. The actual approach, it's still very valid to go use some of the old approaches in certain circumstances, but most of us, the majority of hip replacement surgeons now, go anterior, which basically does not involve cutting muscles. So you work between muscle layers, and when you don't cut the muscles, they recover faster. It hurts less. the joint's more stable. The implants have improved. They've become sort of customized to these smaller, minimally invasive approaches. The anesthesia has improved. You know, you had a spinal where you didn't, we didn't give you general anesthesia. You don't feel sick. You don't feel, you know, nauseous when you're waking up from surgery. Our pain control after the surgery has improved. We combine multiple different types of pain medicines. And then we've realized in the old days where we said, okay, stay in bed for 2 days and then use crutches for 2 weeks and go to rehab, that's not the right way to do it. Like you did 2 hours after surgery, you were up walking. So getting people on their feet, functional as soon as possible. So as far as from a therapy standpoint, I'm glad you're going to have Dr. Soto on. She can talk to you more about that. But the whole approach to this, from surgery, anesthesia, pain control, the approach, the implants, everything has continued to improve, and all of that has resulted in a dramatically better process.
I'm going to ask you a weird question. Why did you want to become an orthopedic surgeon?
Oh, there's so many ways to answer that. I mean, first of all, I was a bit of a hellion when I was a kid. I was into sports, pretty reckless. I would get hurt pretty often, so I would end up in the orthopedic doctor's office, much to my parents' dismay. And I started to kind of get intrigued by the whole idea. I looked up to the guys who were taking care of me, helping me heal, helping me get better, get back to playing. So I looked up to them as sort of role models. Later in life, I got the opportunity to volunteer and kind of shadow with some orthopedic surgeons, and it blew my mind how amazing it was to take someone whose body's not working and help it work again, and the satisfaction that comes with that. And then I just like the combination of it's intellectually stimulating, so you get your mind stimulated. It's also, you get to work with your hands, so I'm not just in front of a computer all day. I like people, so I get to interact. It keeps it fresh. I'm always interacting with different people, different lifestyles, different backgrounds, and it's a science that keeps evolving. So it's something that stays fresh. It doesn't get stale. I keep learning new skills. So it's stimulating in a lot of different ways. And then, most important, like with you, I appreciate one of you. Like, you're very kind that, you know, you give me credit for bringing joy back to your life. But you give me joy, the opportunity to see people, be part of their journey, to take them out of pain and give them back their function and take them out of pain. It's so meaningful to me. So have it's such a blessing to be able to do that, and I just love it. So all those reasons.
Wow, that is perfect. I you know, and he doesn't just do hip. I mean, you are also doing knees.
Right.
But why is knee recovery there's there I heard that, you know, knee replacement is a lot more difficult than the hip.
Yep. Well, the surgery, I mean, for me, it's just as easy. I've got plenty of practice doing one, but so they're routine from my standpoint. But no question, the rehabilitative process after knee replacement is more rigorous. It's definitely more painful. Takes a bit longer. It's a good question as to why. I mean, there's a bunch of theories. The nerves are a bit more superficial, so probably a little more sensitive on the knee than the deeper nerves of the hip. The biomechanics of the hip joint are a lot more straightforward. It's a ball in a socket, and the native joint's a ball and socket. It's replaced with a ball and a socket, whereas the knee is a much more complex joint. It's a rolling hinge that's got, you know, 6 degrees of motion, and to recreate that, we're much better than we were in the old days. Again, techniques have improved. Now we got high technology like robotics involved for accuracy of implant positioning, but still, it's not as close to perfect as the hip is, but still very good. You know, the vast majority of people who get knee replacements say, "Oh my goodness, I'm glad I did that. I'm out of pain. I should have done this several years ago." But they'll say, "Yeah, I'm happy I got my knee done, but it doesn't feel like the knee I had when I was 18." Whereas most people who end up you know, a while recovered after hip replacement say, oh, this thing feels natural.
Yeah.
So that's, we're still working on that with knees. It's still a good surgery, but no question that people have an easier recovery and a more natural feeling outcome with hips.
And what is the usual timeline after hip replacement that people can get full, I guess, full use? Because like I said, I am walking, I'm walking better now than I was before, but what is the full?
So still the, you know, biology is biology. So even though we're not cutting muscle, we're still going in the body, we're replacing parts, ball socket, you still got to heal internally. That biologic timeline, the process of healing is roughly a 3-month process. So I tell people by 3 months, you should be about 90% recovered. And then for a full year from month 3 to month 12, you continue to kind of get better with the finer things like your endurance, your stamina, your balance, your confidence, your sense of normalcy. All those things keep getting better.
Because I'm always wondering, like, if I'm going to be able to dance again. And I know I'm not going to be able to do it. Yeah, okay.
100%,
100%. That was one of the things that I, you know, dance. And I mean, I don't know about running. I never was a runner, but I was, I'm an athlete. I mean, that was one of the main reasons why I think I told you that what happened. I was playing football. Why was I playing football at this age? And this guy threw me down like I was, like I owed him some money. And I said, oh, we're playing like that. Okay. So then that's when it just got bad.
Yeah. That he, you know, he needs to get better at flirting with you. He's, that was his way.
Well, the flirtation ended when I fell on the ground. I was like, that's it. We're done. We're done. You know, don't buy me a drink. I don't need nothing. Which brings me to the next question. When can people start having like a drink and all that good stuff? We're going to have a cocktail, doctor.
Honestly, as long as you don't overdo it. I mean, you're not supposed to combine. I mean, look, you probably took pain pills for what, 2 or 3 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you don't want to combine alcohol with pain pills.
Right.
But once, you know, like for you, 3 days after surgery, you're off it. You could have, I mean, but you gotta be mindful if you have a little too many, your balance, you know, you don't want to get tipsy and fall and hurt yourself, but
right.
I mean, within reason, pretty quickly, as long as you're off the pain pills.
So what advice would you give? Because I'm going to let you go because I know you have a very busy schedule. But what advice would you give to people who are living with knee or hip going forward? Mm-hmm. Like, what would you tell them? Like, if I was your daughter, you have kids?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I do.
Okay. So what would you tell your son or daughter? Like, if you saw them walking around, like, Dad, you know, what the hell? I mean, you know, my girlfriend's mom, mother-in-law is having, what would you tell them?
So I think, first of all, you got to be honest with yourself. I mean, look, I'm not saying run in every time you get a twinge here, a tweak there, right?
Right.
So a lot, most things, if it's minor, you know, the body has amazing ability to recover from sprains and strains and heal itself. But if something's really more persistent than that, if it's getting worse, if you try the normal stuff and it's not getting better, you know, do yourself a favor, find a good, reliable, trustworthy doctor, and go visit them. You know, find someone with a good reputation, maybe ask around, word of mouth, ask your primary care, look up some reviews. So find someone good that you can trust, and then go meet with them and have them check you out and see what's going on, because it could be a bunch of different things. It doesn't, you know, I'd say in any day, if I see on average 30 people in my office on a clinic day, I might offer surgery to 3 of those patients. So 90% of the time we're having conversations about how to get better, feel better without surgery. So don't think that just because you're going to see an orthopedic surgeon, it means you're consenting to sign up for surgery.
Right.
There's so much that can be often done to help you feel better without surgery.
And are you taking new patients? Because, you know, I just got a note. Someone asked me, were you taking new patients? So are you taking new patients?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, Dr. Mvari, he didn't say, but he's one of the top docs. I saw that too. Mm-hmm. Throwing that out there too. One of the top docs.
Thanks, honey.
It has been such a pleasure talking with you, doctor. And again, I have to throw that out there that you have made me feel the most comfortable with this whole process, because again, I was very apprehensive and had a lot of anxiety. And I just want to thank you for your incredible bedside manner, your sense of calmness and your sense of humor, because you did say I would feel young again. That right there was the ticket. That sold me. I'm gonna feel
Thank you,
young
Anya. Well,
again.
look, I saw a lady who's just fabulous, and the hip was not going along with that lifestyle.
Yeah, right?
And
I was looking
I
crazy.
knew, No, you're looking great, but you were feeling bad. So
Yeah.
I'm happy to get you feeling better.
It was such a pleasure talking with you. We're going to be joined next with Dr. Soto, but thank you so much. And I'm going to put all his information in the show notes. Also, people, this show airs again or repeats, so you can hear it tomorrow on Spotify, Amazon Music, Castbox, Podbean, YouTube, iHeartRadio. Yeah, we got all of them. So you're going to hear Dr. Mvari again later in the week. So I appreciate him being there. So we got Pam, Dr. Pam Soto from Bui Physical Therapy. Pam, welcome to the broadcast. Hello, Pam?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, do you want me to call you Pam or doctor? Because I give respect for the doctor thing.
Oh,
I
you can
mean,
call me Pam. It's just fine.
I called you Pam at the PT, but I'm like, I saw a doctor. I'm gonna call you.
Thank you. You're very kind. Pam is fine.
Pam, Dr. Mvari, wonderful doctor, but he highly recommended Bui physical therapy. So I want to know, how important is physical therapy after any type of replacement, whether it be knee replacement or hip replacement?
It's key in the recovery. Like Dr. Mvari was just saying, the recovery can extend several months after the joint replacement happens. But it is our job to get you back to that normal life as safely and as efficiently as we can. So he also, to echo some of what he said, when people get to a joint replacement decision, it's not overnight. There's been several months of pain, months to years. So when they finally make that decision, they've been limping for a while most of the time. They've been in pain for several years. Their quality of life is just not what it used to be. And PT is all about getting you back to that life in the fastest way, safest way, and that we just get you back that quality of life that you've been missing, you know? So it's, I mean, I'm biased. I love my job and what I do. So I love to see that part of physical therapy and help people come along in a smoother way to get back to life post-surgery.
So, how soon after surgery should patients start, coming to you? Like they, right after surgery, or like a couple of days? Because I know Dr. Mvari, he scheduled me pre, and then like I think I had surgery on that Thursday. I was at your office on that Monday.
Yes, we start right away. We have found that if we get people moving quicker, like Dr. Mvari was saying earlier, there's a lower risk of infection, lower risk of any complications really that can come along with a surgery of this size, this magnitude. So physical therapists are trained in identifying all of these things, not just getting you back, but also monitoring that, right? Because you're not going to see your surgeon as often as you're going to see us. So we're really good at that and getting you back. So you start right away, like you were saying. I heard you earlier. You probably woke up and there's a physical therapist with a walker standing over you, saying you have to walk right now.
Who was this woman trying to tell me to get up and walk? I'm like, are you
Yeah.
watch? I said, okay, I guess if you know I can walk, okay.
Yeah, and Dr. Mvari is really good. I think he schedules his surgeries for Thursday, and he's a big advocate of pre-rehab. So he really wants his patients to come in and see us. We have a partnership with him. He sends a lot of his patients to us. He really trusts us, which we really appreciate. But he really likes that how we prepare patients, right? And it's not just trying to get you as strong as we can, but sometimes we talk about how to set up your home for the best recovery. What is recovery going to look like? What is right after surgery going to look like? Which is the most, what I find tends to be the scarier part, right? Because going into surgery, you're going to be asleep. The doctor's going to do their thing, and then you're going to wake up. But when you wake up, is what is that going to look like? So for us, preparing you for that can ease the anxiety of going to a surgery like this, and knowing what to expect after can really set you up for success. So yeah, we start right away. We hit the ground running as soon as you're out of there.
So how do you know you're a good fit with your physical therapist? Like, what if I get someone that I'm working with and I'm like, this person is, I don't know what they think I can do, but I'm complaining. I mean, how do you know you're a good fit? Because I will say this, everyone that's at your office has been amazing. I love everyone there, including, I mean, all the way from the front desk Sue and then all the doctors there. Everyone has been amazingly spectacular. But there are some places, and I won't say the name because I've been to physical therapy before, and I did not have a good experience, and I actually left.
Listen, I completely understand. Well, I'm going to be a little bit biased and say, because I do love where I work, we're a small clinic. We're tiny but mighty, as I like to say. At Bowie Physical Therapy, there's only three therapists, and then Sue, who is the backbone of our practice, our admin. So I think for us, and what makes us successful is that Sue and Kevin had created a space where the quality of the care that we provide for our patients was going to be our priority.
Right.
And I think that helps in the what we present to our patients. But I tell patients, if you don't feel like you're clicking with us or it something feels off, I encourage my patients, go interview other physical therapy places. If a surgery is coming up, we have several patients that come and they want to see our facilities. They want to actually talk to one of the therapists. I encourage that, right? Because sometimes it's not necessarily that a PT is bad, but it might not be a fit for you.
Right.
A clinic necessarily is not bad, right? Some people like the big open gym with the big music and everybody in one place. Some people want a quieter place with more privacy, which tends to be how our model is. So I encourage patients, and if something feels up, I really tell patients, advocate for yourself, speak up, because this is your experience,
Well,
right?
I like the quiet. I like your setup. I love that because the last place I went to, it felt like I was at a gym and I didn't wear enough makeup. I mean, I'm sorry. I love the quiet. I love the personal care.
Thank you. I think that, yeah, when Sue and Kevin took over the practice, that was their priority. And I mean, again, I will always say this, I'm biased. I love where I work. I love doing what I do. And it's because we really put our patients as the priority and the quality of care that they're going to receive from us.
So how long does recovery usually last? Like, when do you think you start seeing like real results? I mean, I know it's based on individuals, but how long will you usually give people where there's like, oh my God, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm actually, walking a lot better.
So usually I tell patients, and for hip replacements specifically, knee replacements are way different, but for
Right.
hip replacements, I usually tell patients that first month is the toughest.
Yeah.
It is the toughest. The pain management has gotten a lot better, but that's usually when you're really tired, right? Because your body's trying to heal from this major surgery. So I
Right.
usually tell patients that first month, just there's a lot of patience, there's a lot of just listen to your PT, trust me that things are going to get better. But once we get to about that 3 month mark, and most patients after a hip replacement, they're not even with us for that long, honestly.
Oh,
But I
wow.
usually tell them about that 3 month mark, you're feeling great, right? You're ready to take on the world. You got a brand new joint and you're going to use it. But
Right.
that first month tends to be the toughest one for people to come around, because it's a lot that happens.
Yeah. I don't want to ask like the different exercise because I know there's different techniques or whatever, and I know everyone has a different technique, but are there specific exercises that are geared to, say, the knee replacement versus the hip replacement versus, I guess, back surgery? I mean, because I'm sure people go to PT for that as well.
Absolutely. So every joint is going to have a little bit of different precautions, right? Because every joint is a little bit different. But honestly, I always tell patients the simplest and cheapest way to keep it is if you can walk, you want to walk.
Right.
Walking is one of the best exercise form of exercises that you can have, because it's pretty inexpensive, it's pretty simple, right? And it can be very safe. So I tell most patients the least complicated way to do it is walking. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not doing other things that your PT has deemed specific for you and the type of surgery you had. But a great way that is if you can walk, you walk. It's a
Right.
great way to start. Yeah, and it prevents any type of complications by a long stretch. So I usually tell patients, if nothing else, get up and walk.
So what advice would you give someone who is scared of physical therapy after surgery? I mean, I don't even know why that is even, should even be a question, but I do have to ask that question. Like, so I have a friend who did not go to physical therapy, and I'm like, what? So what? Yeah. How? Yeah. I digress.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's because of the horror stories that people have gone through.
Yeah.
PT can be very scary and very painful if you don't have somebody that's guiding you through the process.
Right.
And it can really leave an impact on your life. I mean, there's the old joke of like PT stands for pain and torture. I don't think we operate that way in my clinic at all. But it is scary because you have to put in a lot of work and there is a lot of discomfort, and your
Yeah.
physical therapist is going to push you a little bit more each time. And there are some times where you say, there's no way I can do more, and your PT knows, and we're going
Right.
to push you just a little bit. But I think all of those other instances where somebody had a really bad experience kind of leaves a mark,
Yeah.
right? And most of us are really good about sharing the bad reviews before we share the good ones, So I think those are legitimate concerns. Again, if you get a chance, go interview PT places in your community or ask your doctor, like you said. Dr. Anvari recommended us, and but come in, talk to us, see how it feels, and if it doesn't feel right, change.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the fact that you said that, the pain, and I mean, it's like I wrote something on one of my social medias. I said, PT is killing me, but it's necessary. That's what I wrote. And the killing me was the fact that it was a good pain, because that good pain has allowed me not to walk with a cane. And I will keep saying that. It's like I will bitch and moan and say that I'm in pain, and I'll say, oh, I gotta take a Tylenol or whatever afterwards. But I'm walking better. And I know the reason why I'm walking better is because you guys are pushing me, and you telling me, you can do this. I need you to do this. If you want your quality of life to change, this is what you need to do. So I encourage everyone to, like Dr. Soto said, if you had surgery and you need to get physical therapy, interview different people. Me personally, I now love the boutique. I call it the boutique setting because I don't like a whole bunch of people. I love this boutique setting that Bowie Physical Therapy Associates have. And if you all are taking more clients or new clients, I'm putting all that information in the show notes. But it has been such a pleasure, Pam, to talk with you guys, and you, Marjorie. Marjorie's my girl too. You guys are just an amazing group of people.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for being the best patient. We'd love to see you come in. You always
Absolutely.
brighten up our day.
Oh, okay. See, now that makes me feel good, because I segue from that. We're going into Niaswa. Niaswa is oh, thank you so much, Dr. Soda. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Niaswa Bhikkhu. Now, I will give you some background, just a tid tad background. I've known this brother since I was in college. I wanted to get into radio, and he gave me the opportunity to go on the air and do the news. And I will always be grateful for that, because he was in charge of the radio station at Clark, Atlanta. And he gave me the opportunity to go on the air. We've been friends ever since. And I reached out to him, and I asked him about, telling him about my surgery. And I was emotional. I was in tears, and I said, I'm scared. I didn't know what I was going to be facing. And he let me know that he had all these different types of surgeries. So this is why I have him on the show, because I want him to tell you guys how important it is that if your body starts aching, you need to get this done. Nieswa, welcome to the podcast. I think, is your mic on? I think your mic is off. It's muted. I see you in my queue, but your mic is muted. Hello? Okay. Are you there? Doug, do you see Nie? Do you see him in the thing? Okay. I see you in the queue, but your mic is muted. Let me see. Yeah, you're not coming in. So, we're gonna We're gonna see if you can come in a few minutes. Before we, I'll just start doing this until we can get Nyiswa on the air. One of the most important things about this recovery for me was the caregiver. And the okay, yeah, he said he can't fix them. Okay. Hopefully, Nyiswa, you will unmute yourself and you can join us. But one of the most important things that I will say is the caregiver. And my sister, who I will say, and I'm going to say it on the air now, is my best friend. I have never seen someone so dedicated to making me feel better about this whole process. She was there from the start to the end. She made sure I was taken care of. She continuously does that. She was there with the ice packs. She was there with the food. Every hour that I was at her place, I stayed with her for a week. She told me to get up, get up. Come on, you got to walk. Yeah, I started walking like every hour on the hour, to changing out the ice packs. She is my hero. And I'm going to say that until the cow. And I also like to thank all the people who came to visit me. And that is very important too. I mean, I wasn't really sharing all of this with everybody, and I didn't tell everybody about this situation. But I just like to thank everybody who took the time to bring me stuff, to reach out, bought me food, bought me water. I had, someone call me the same night that I had the surgery. They called me on Zoom, but I was looking crazy. I didn't take the call, but I took the call, and there was no judgment. You know who you are, you know what you did, and I really appreciate it. I think we got Nyiswa now. Do we? We do not. I see you in the queue, but you cannot come through. So I might have to end this soon if I can't get you. I see you in the queue. This is a live show, so this is what we do on a live show. I don't apologize. I like chaos. I'm just saying, I like when things go bad because it lets you know that you're doing it live. So I have no problem with. He says, "It says the host has it muted." Okay, that's not true. No, that's not true. I do not have you muted. So, my director is telling me this, that we do not have you muted, that you are on here and that we can't get you. So I'm about to wrap this up since we can't get you. But yeah, I will say about the caregiver thing. I love the fact that my sister was there for me and still there for me. When I finally got to go home and saw my dog, I want to thank my neighbor who watched my dog, Milo's Nana, watched him for a week. I so appreciate them. They have no idea. They're not only my neighbor, but they're my friends. Everyone who was reaching out and making sure that I was okay. I just like to thank everybody for that. And this process of going through something major, because I've never had any major surgery in my life, but this process has taught me a lot about people and people who are in your life. And I have to say that, oh,
How about now?
I can see you, but we don't need the video. We just need the audio.
How about now?
Okay.
Any audio?
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay. We're gonna go. So welcome to the podcast. Yeah, he finally got through. So tell us about your surgeries. Like, what would you say was one of the hardest surgeries that you had?
You can hear.
Yeah, we can hear you. But it's bad. It's a lot of feedback. Okay, so we're going to wrap the show because you came. We couldn't really hear you that well. It was really bad. But thank you so much for joining the podcast. Thank you for continuing listening to us. I'd like to thank Dr. Michael Anvari, who was a wonderful orthopedic surgeon who basically changed my life. I'd like to thank Dr. Pamela Soto and Marjorie and Sue and all those guys at the Bowie Physical Therapy Associates. And I wish my friend could have joined us, but we've had some technical difficulties and it's really coming in crazy. So I will have to get him the next time. And again, if you are contemplating or thinking about, getting hip replacement, knee replacement, talk to a certified or a really good caring orthopedic surgeon that just not want to try to put you on the table and just cut you up. give you, he's going to give you options. He's going to tell you, you know, this is good, this is bad. And, you know, do the research like I did. I researched this for over 2 years and, you know, I picked a wonderful surgeon. So I really appreciate that. And I appreciate BBS Radio TV for allowing me to do this podcast. And yeah, I will end with that. Until the next time, you take care. That's a wrap for today on It Starts Now. Catch us on BBS Radio TV and all your streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, CastBox, and more. Want to keep the conversation going? Hit that subscribe button and share this episode with your crew. And you got a brand or business that you want to promote? Let us team up. Email me at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com or facejobmedia.com. Your best life, it starts now. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.